Good morning. As Emily mentioned, we celebrate Epiphany today. And unless I miss my guess, we don't think of this so much as a holiday as we do just sort of a word or phrase that of what comes to us all of a sudden, the aha moment, and what is there, which, in fairness, makes it that much more tricky to fit it in with a story that we know well, and that we see well, and that is familiar to us for time out of mind. Yet each and every time we're invited by the story to see where we are with new eyes. To hear the story of the coming of the Magi as told by Matthew in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, just after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who was born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star rising and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for as it's written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no and by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall become a ruler who is to be shepherd to Israel.' Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I may go and pay him homage.' When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." It's not an accident that we find ourselves in January. Yes, I know that we all picked that up when we changed the calendars over on Monday and started a new year. Personally, I appreciated the revelation that I didn't have to stay up till midnight to get the celebration in. You could just search on YouTube and say New Year's fireworks and say, "See, kids, here's London or Australia," and never mind, it's been a new year for already 20 hours or so. And then off to bed. But in the broader sense, we have this guy to thank for where we are right now. This is Janus, the Greek, the Roman god of beginnings and endings. And he was there and adopted by the Gregorian calendar for the beginning of the year. As you can see, he has this depiction of being two faces, facing both front and back, a being of two minds in knowing what's there. As such, you can often find this Janus protecting a courtyard or facing out, both to pay attention to what is being protected and what is being protected against. Janus is a marker of transition, of what comes next, even while being mindful of what has been. And to be sure, I don't put a whole lot of stock into Janus's power to begin and end wars, cause volcanoes to erupt, or any of the other powers attributed to him by the cult of the ancients. But there is little denying that this is a bit of a powerful image for this moment in time of the year, because it captures both our preoccupation with what is new and what we are entering into, while acknowledging we are also connected to what has been and what and where we have been. It has a pretty powerful influence over where we're going. I'm going to pause here just a second. Minor technical malfunction here before it just falls off. Because whatever you think about the ancients, and however you think about it, you know that this is how we feel at this time of the year. It's our seasonal existence of looking forward and back. We live our lives in seasons. And to be sure, the ones that we know best, winter, spring, summer, fall, and all that go with them. But we also have our other seasons too. Our seasons of satisfaction and of worry, anticipation and contemplation, of positivity and concern, of feeling well and wondering what is next. Maybe too you struggle with even just moments and seasons of darkness in your own souls and in this time. As an academic, this was the time of year where I was drawn to look into the semester that lay before me, and I got all of the assignments for the next 3 months. And would often profess, there's absolutely no way that this is getting done by April. Combine that with the fact that northern Indiana is not exactly a garden spot from about November to March, and is downwind from Lake Michigan, and therefore almost constantly cloudy. It can be a little bit grim. And I think some of that's even stuck with me, even now that the geography has changed. Starting a new year, it can push us in some ways that we have both back and forward. And often we find ourselves in a bit of a double-mindedness about the time of our lives and the direction that we are now following and what is next. Knowing and tending these seasons of our lives and of our souls is something that we do well to engage with always, but especially at moments like this. The Magi, as we know them, are inseparable from our notion of nativity. our sets would be empty without them. And anyone who's done any sort of Christmas pageant knows that these are rules that just have to be filled, cardboard crowns and all. Yet their place in the story is a little bit odd when you think about it. And they come late to the party, and we don't really know all that much about them from the scriptural record. This reference from Matthew is really all that we have. And the names and their places of origin and their ideas and all that we have. Because I'm guessing that if you would think about it and give it about 10 seconds thought, you could come up with at least two out of the three names. All that is tradition. All that is there, and it's outside of it. That's here. But yet, we don't entirely know where they came from, who they were, what their purpose was. All we know is that they came to honor a king. But we do know, all the same, that when they get there and when they arrive, their presence has a way of shaking things up. They were the ones who came seeking. They were the ones who knew that the coming of a star and the rise of a king. And they were the ones who prompted the other wise ones, the learned scholars of Torah and the law that Herod consulted for his own purposes. They were the ones that alerted them that there might be something going on. Those ones, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were learned to be sure, but they weren't looking for what ended up happening right under their noses. There was always a bit of a wonder of why it took outsiders from afar to reveal the promise that had been told to them for years. I had to imagine that maybe they heard a rumor from some shepherds floating around about angels heard on high and all the rest, but didn't really give it all that much mind until what's there. In the canonical context of the Bible, perhaps the Magi and their guests are Matthew's way of reminding the audience that even representatives of a long ago Persian king recognized the place that this one who, in their own words, was born in the king of the Jews. However their function in the story is told, I sometimes wonder whether we now know what to do with them. Our nativity sets, we have the child of wonder, the parents full of grace and amazement, and the shepherds being brought there by divine authority, and the Magi simply giving the whole thing a bit of a royal flair. At least that's usually how we use it. And what's more, if you haven't already, it's about time to pack all this away for the year. We're done with it and we're ready to leave it alone. But here again, come, see what child is this. See what light has dawned. See what is here now. And I venture that for today even, that the Magi perhaps could be our best traveling companions for a day like today. If we are to put them to use, I think we do well to know them for who they are. people who wonder, who look, who see a light and say, I wonder what that means. I wonder where it comes from. It is here in this time, in this place of transition, that we're given people who notice. People who are there. People who pick up on what is going on. And I think these are good people for us to sit with in this time. Because as we've talked about before, this is a time where we do notice. We look back into what has been and find moments of grace that have been offered us. The right word at the right time. A hug when we need it the most. Simply receiving grace when grace was the last thing that we were looking for. And not only looking back, but also inviting us to look forward. Inviting us and asking us, what do you see on the horizon? What stars are rising for you in your way, in your world? What might they mean? Are they good stars or ones that cause you trouble? And where might you find God in the midst of it all? When we hold both in view, when we walk with the Magi, when we seek God in the midst of what we see, we are given a new way of looking and a new way of being. And maybe the Magi come at the tail end of all of this to remind us to keep on looking for the revelation of God and the way of God with us in all things and all times. And allowing us to translate the simple good things of our world and our lives into the signs and wonders that portends what we most need in the world. The sense of God coming and being with us. It's been a couple of years now, but I'm guessing you recall a while back us inviting you into the gift of a star word. Of a word given you for the year and for the time to simply speak as it will. And we wanted to offer this gift to you again. To refresh your memory of how this works, these are words that we just thought to be spiritually meaningful in this time. And yes, you can understand it for what it is. It's a word that I pulled at random out of a bag. That's what it is. But what I invite you toward is, it's a word through which the Spirit may dwell, in which God may move, around which I might find healing or challenge or hope or discomfort or a whole lot of things. And without setting out too many rules, I think all of those possibilities are meaningful. Sometimes we get the word that we don't want to hear. I believe Emily, several years ago, while we were waiting on the machinations of immigration and all the rest, received the word patience. Not what we wanted, but what we got. I'll even allow you to pick two words if you must, if you find one for discomfort. But please don't throw the first away. Sometimes we dismiss discomfort as, well, uncomfortable and therefore not all that good or useful. Instead, sometimes discomfort is the most spiritually active part of our soul saying, aha, look and do. And of course, if you don't wish to participate, that's fine. You can skip this as well or take it and leave it in the trash. That's okay. But what we want to offer in this is a reminder that our world is full of signs and wonders. Our lives are full of stars in the east. Even in the vast periods of time that defy our very imagination, there are always things that are going on that speak to us, that activate us, if we have the courage to see, to know, and to follow. And not every light in the sky that catches our eyes is worth following, is worth setting out on a quest to find. Often we become so overwhelmed with choosing between the sparkling invitation to the quest and the glittery distraction that will lead us nowhere, that we stop looking for the rising star in the first place. Stop looking for what God is doing in our lives. And sometimes you wonder, well, why do I need to take and seek out what God is doing anyways? God is here. God is now. And that too is good news. God is with us and we do not need to seek. But God is with us and is active to us. And in that and through that, we are always called to seek more, to move towards that presence, in that presence, and towards what God is doing. Here we stand at a new year, looking both forward and back. It is not hard to examine the sky at a moment like this and to see what the stars might say to us. And we were invited to ask of ourselves in this time, what is it that I seek? And what might God be seeking in me? Where have we seen light? And where do we get to share it? Are we open to this? Are we open to signs on the horizon? Are we listening for God's word and looking for the kingdom of God in our midst? May God speak to each of us and move us as God wills, no matter the season that we find ourselves in. Amen. As we sing our song of response, which you can find at 274 in Voices Together, I'll bring around the bag of words. Make your selection. See how it speaks to you, and hold it with you in the year to come. Let's sing together.